message of the gospel, the message that Jesus Christ had died and been raised from the dead. And all along the way, he had some difficulty. He was stoned in Lystra. He was run out of Iconium. There was a conspiracy made about him in Antioch. And yet every city along the way, there was some success. That there were people, in particularly Gentile people, who received the message of the gospel, were baptized into Christ, and a church, a Christian community, was started in each one of those towns. Well, fast forward a few years, and Paul gets word that there have been some Jewish Christians, Paul calls them Jewish agitators, who have made their way to that part of the world, made their way to Galatia, and has gone to those towns, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, and has been giving some strange teaching to these new Gentile believers. And this new teaching, it's confusing these new believers. Because what these Jewish Christian teachers are saying is they're saying, you're not fully the people of God. Yes, I know Paul came and he started you on the gospel, but there's a few things that he didn't tell you. And if you don't do these things, then you're not really a part of God's true people. And he said, and they said, for example, one of the things that Paul didn't tell you about is that all the men need to be circumcised. Well, there's nothing more demoralizing to a new church when you tell all the men that they need to be circumcised. And then they begin to say, and there's other things that Paul didn't tell you about, things like observing the Sabbath day, or having certain food laws, eating certain foods and not eating certain foods, and just the law in general. And because he didn't tell you these things, if you don't do them, if you don't adopt them, then you're not really a part of the church, God's people. Well, Paul gets word that this thing has been going on, that these teachers are teaching this, and that the Gentile believers are starting to accept it. And when Paul hears that, he gets mad. He starts to look like Thel did on that camera in that commercial. And he sits down and he writes a letter that is his most emotional and angry letter. I'm going to have to preach angry for the next 3 months because Paul is angry in this letter. And the gist of what he is trying to say in this letter is don't mess with gospel. Lou Martin, who is a professor of theology up in New York and has written a lot on the book of Galatians, he made this statement. He said, at no point has the health of the church been more dependent on distinguishing God's good news from various forms of its counterfeits. And I think the reason why he said that is because if we believe a counterfeit gospel, it produces something in our life. What you believe influences your behavior. And so if you believe a false gospel, it's going to cause you to behave in ways that are contrary to the will of God. And so if we're going to be a church that's becoming a gospel community, which is our theme for the year, we need to be really clear and understand very well what the gospel truly is and all of its implications. Because if we want to be a group of people that the world can look in and peek in and say, okay, I want to see what the gospel looks like lived out, we need to know what the gospel is, and we need to be living it out truly and completely. And that is precisely the reason why Paul writes the book of Galatians, to help that church know what the gospel truly is and all of its implications for living it out. The book of Galatians is an explosive book. People have read this book down through centuries, and as they have read it and started to understand it, it has caused them to make dramatic changes in their life. Maybe the best example of this is Martin Luther. Luther in the 16th century started reading Galatians and studying, teaching this book, and it was Galatians, in addition to other things, but primarily Galatians that convicted him and caused him to nail those 95 theses on the wall there in that church in Germany and to start what we would call the Reformation. Why? Because he wanted to reclaim the true gospel, because as he studied Galatians, it convicted him that he should not mess with the gospel, but instead reclaim that true and pure gospel. Charles Wesley, who is a famous hymn writer, we have some of his hymns in our hymn book. He said after he studied and read Galatians, he said, I just feel like I see the world differently now. That's what happens when you read and study Galatians. You see the world differently. You see yourself differently. You see church differently because of this explosive letter. And down through the centuries, there have been dozens, if not hundreds, of scholars and interpreters who have read these six chapters and have been impacted by them, and they've been changed by them. Why? What's so explosive about this letter that we call Galatians? Why is it something that radically changes people? I think the reason is because we all have a tendency to put certain things at the same level as the gospel. We put human traditions or cultural values, or we put our own personal preferences and we put them at the same level as the gospel. So, no, the gospel is important, but these things are important too. And Paul says in this letter, you can't do that. Don't mess with gospel. The gospel is the most important thing. The critical question in the book of Galatians, the question that the whole book revolves around, is this question right here. What does it mean to be the people of God? What defines the people of God? What gives us our identity? What makes us a Christian? What makes you a Christian? What makes us a church? What is it that defines us and gives us identity? And what those Jewish teachers, those agitators, what they were telling those Galatian Christians was, yeah, Jesus is important, but there are some other things that are important too that give you identity as a part of the people of God. Things like circumcision. Circumcision marks you out as a part of God's covenant people. That's what God told Abraham back in Genesis. And so you got to do that. That's important too. And the law, that's important as well, because that marks you out as a part of being God's people. These things are important. Jesus is important too, but these other things are important as well. And so Paul begins to speak into that, and he begins to explain that when Jesus came, there was something so radical and so transformative that happened in that moment that the old ways of thinking, the old habits and the old traditions, they just don't matter as much. When you read the book of Galatians, and I encourage you to read it, you can read it in about 10 minutes, you'll notice that Paul says a lot of either or in the book. It's either this or it's that. You're either preaching the gospel or what you're preaching is not the gospel. You're either justified by faith in Jesus or you are justified by the works of law. You're either walking according to the flesh or you're walking according to the Spirit. You are either enslaved to worldly principles or you are free in Jesus. It's one or the other. You're on one side of the fence. And the reason why Paul says a lot of that in the book of Galatians, I think, is because of Paul's worldview. That Paul views the world through two different worlds or two different realms, and you can see this in the book. That on the one hand, there is this realm that we call the present evil age. And this realm is dominated by sin and death. This is where sin and death controls how we live. In the present evil age, we are enslaved to the ways of the world. We walk according to the flesh. The worldly principles are our guide, and the works of the law is what gives us identity. But what Paul is saying in Galatians is that there's this other realm, this other world, and that's called new creation. And in this realm of new creation, we receive grace. We have freedom in Jesus. We walk according to the Holy Spirit. We're receiving of the promise of God, and we are centered in faith in Christ. And if you notice in Galatians 1, verse 5, what Paul is trying to get at the very beginning of this letter, he's trying to help these Christians understand that when Christ came, he gave us a gift. And that gift was grace. And he offered himself. He gave a self-sacrifice. He offered himself on the cross for our sins so that you and I could be rescued from the present evil age and become new creation. That's what Jesus did. And what Paul is saying in the whole book of Galatians is when Jesus did that, when he rescued you and he rescued me and he rescued all of us together from the present evil age, making us new creation, when he did that, that act was so radical and it was so transformative and it was so cosmic altering that all of our old traditions, all of our old habits, all of our old ideals and our old values that we thought were really important now just don't matter. You could say that the book of Galatians is about stripping down our identity. What makes you you? What makes us church? If I was to come up to you and say, tell me a little bit about yourself, you would start rattling off some things that define who you are, right? Well, I work at this job. I live at this house. I was born in this place. I have a wife. I have a husband. I have kids. I go to this school. You would start telling me all these things that you think define who you are. And Paul says in the book of Galatians, actually, if we really want to get down to it on what identifies us, what marks us out, what defines us as people, as Christians, here's what it is. That Christ has rescued us from the present evil age to become new creation. That's what it's about. As one professor said, he said, when you take communion, when you hold that tray, the only thing that matters about you at that moment is that Christ has rescued from the evil age. That's all that matters. That defines who you are and who we are. And everything else just doesn't count anymore. I'm going to invite up Justin Vanderveer, our new life recovery minister, to come and share with me. He's going to be kind of like our Exhibit A of what I've just been talking about, as he's going to talk about how he's experienced a new identity because he's been rescued from the present evil age to become a new creation.
You wear boots, you got to do that. My wife always gets on me. Thank you, Steve. Have you heard of my former life? That is the question that Paul asked his friends in Galatia. Paul used his own personal testimony many times to drive home a point. This morning, Steve is a hammer and I am a nail. My nail is God's grace. Have you heard of my former life? Raised by the world, an addict to the things of the world, an addict craving power, power over the pain and emptiness that I felt, power over the loneliness, power over the confusion, power over the fear, and power over the shame. Have you heard of my former life? A thief, caught, tried, convicted. A liar, caught, tried, convicted. An alcoholic, caught, confined, controlled. Have you heard of my former life? Wanted, warrants, arrest, onesies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Orange is not my color. Insane, hospitalized, diagnosed, released under suspicion, rehab, AA, halfway. Lord, there's got to be a better way. But by God's grace, have you heard of my new way of life? Rescued. I've been rescued from pain and emptiness. I've been rescued from, hi, my name is Justin and I'm an alcoholic. I've been rescued from forgotten, abandoned, and addicted. I've been and am currently being rescued from a mindset of doubt and fear. I've been rescued from using substances to measure my value, to justify my worth. I've been rescued from pleasing people in order to feel significant. I've been rescued from feeling inadequate. I've been rescued from the curse of never being good enough. Have you heard of my new way of life? Redeemed. Redeemed from the world. Redeemed from slavery to the world. Redeemed from sin that exists in the world. Have you heard of my new way of life? I am a son, baptized into Christ in order that I might come into contact with the blood of Christ. Obedient to the faith that His blood makes me clean and takes away my sin. I am a son. It no longer matters what the world views me as. It no longer matters what household I was born into. It no longer matters that I was lost. I am a son. I am found. I am chosen according to the good news which called me out from a life of destruction. Have you heard of my new way of life? Called by His grace. There is no partiality with God. There is no church versus unchurched. There is no addict versus non-addict. There is no little I's or big U's. There is only the truth of the gospel. Have you heard of my new way of life? Justified by faith. Faith that the Son of God loves us and gave His life for us. Faith that His blood makes us part of the family of God, not the family we were born into. Faith that it is no longer us that live, but Christ that lives in us. Have you heard of this way of life? It's not just me that's been rescued. It's all of you. We are partners. We can be partners. I need you, and you need me. We need a community of true worth and true identity, and a community shaped by the gospel provides both.
I told you that Galatians is going to be an explosive letter. That was just the beginning. Thank you, Justin. Over the next 3 months, we're going to open up this book of Galatians, and we're going to listen as Paul teaches us to remember and to understand the power of the gospel and how we've been rescued from the present evil age to become new creation. And I think one of the reasons why Justin's testimony and Galatians is so powerful is because one of the messages that the Galatian Christians were hearing from those Jewish agitators was, you're not enough. It's a message that we hear. It was a message that Justin heard. You're not enough. It's not enough that you've been baptized into Christ. Not enough that you've learned the gospel of Jesus from Paul. It's not enough that you're already starting to worship God. It's not enough. You've got to do a few other things. If you really want to be the people of God, you're not enough. And we hear that as well. You didn't make the grade. You're just not enough. Didn't get the job. You're just not enough. Weren't able to survive in that relationship. You're just not enough. You're just not enough. And the message of Galatians that Paul gives over and over again is, remember what Jesus did. He rescued you from the present evil age to become new creation. Jesus has set you free from the slavery of the world. Jesus has sent his Spirit inside of your heart so you can walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Jesus is the seed of Abraham, and he offers blessings to the world. Jesus is enough. And if you have Jesus, if he's rescued you, then you are enough. And if you want to experience that rescue this morning, if you want to be baptized into Christ, just like Justin was, to receive the blood of Christ in your life and to be rescued from that evil age, we would love to welcome you to God's family. We're going to have our ministers and elders surround this auditorium. If we can help you, if you want to be baptized, just come up to one of them. If you need prayer, encouragement this morning, we're here to help you. Please come now as together we stand and sing.